Pause recording button.
Hi everyone, it's Jo, and I thought I'd pop on and just respond to Tanya Contrary Tan's post, the news item that she posted yesterday. Apologies, hey, I've got a sore throat and a cold, so I don't sound very good. But I think it's an interesting one. Is it enough for somebody to spend a short time blindfolded, you know, being guided around a town? Well, I guess it's a start, and you would probably say that anything is better than nothing, and at least that somebody's making an effort to try to understand a little bit of what it's like to be visually impaired. So in that respect, I think it's a good idea, and at least it was a you know, a small effort. I think there's probably more things that they could do. I think it depends what aspect of visual impairment you're trying to understand. If it is the kind of being out and about side of it, then yes, I guess that trying to cross a road and listening for traffic sounds and going into a shop and ordering and, you know, paying for something. I wonder if he had to cope with the money himself, or whether he was actually helped with that. That would be one thought. did he actually... was he encouraged to choose when to cross the road, or was it just a, you know, an audio, audible pelican crossing that he used? Did they actually take him to a road where he had to rely on his own senses to judge when it was safe to cross? That would be interesting to find out. There are various things I think that, you know, the article didn't say everything, you know, and that would be interesting to know exactly what he did. I think it's interesting to put people in a home environment and ask them to do something, you know, I don't know, basic tasks in the kitchen, obviously supervised, but, you know, could they make themselves a cup of tea or coffee, something as simple as that? You know, you could even try it just using cold water at first out of the kettle, but just seeing if they could pour out of a kettle to make themselves a brew would be interesting. I think there's a lot more that could be done, but I think it is a start, and encouraging that people are prepared to participate in this. One thing I was going to mention was that back in 97, I worked on an exhibition at the Museum of Science and Industry in Manchester. And it was called Dialogue in the Dark. And basically, I think it started in London and then they brought it to Manchester. And it was a walkthrough exhibition to give sighted people the opportunity to find out what it was like to be visually impaired. Well, in fact, to be totally blind. And they employed visually impaired people to take people through the exhibition, because obviously we were used to being in the dark, sort of thing, to a degree. And what happened, I'll explain a little bit about it for those who've never heard of it. You would start off with groups of people, probably up to about maybe 8 people. We would take children, but the child had to be accompanied by an adult, obviously. And they would start off in a dimly lit room, excuse me, which we called acclimatisation, and they'd be given a talk, given some of the stats, you know, that at the time back in 97 there were 20,000 registered blind people in the UK, of which only 4% were totally blind. And then they would each be given a cane to help them go through the exhibition, but they were just told basically, you know, to kind of hold it in front of them and not to swing it round, of course. And then one of the guides, so say I would meet my group of people, and they would come through to a darkened corridor, and then I take them through a curtain into a park. And all this was done in a very large area in the museum. Now it wasn't a real park, but it was set up to be, and there were plants. There was a path that they had to follow through the park, always guided by me or one of the other guides. There was a sensory area in the park, so you could encourage them to try and distinguish what plants were that they were smelling. Could they, you know, say, was it lemon, or say rosemary or lavender, something like that. There were park benches, a statue, a gravelled area, and all the noises, the sounds of birds and running water. Then we'd guide them round to a bridge, take them over the bridge, which went over some running water, and then into what I know as a ginnel, but you may know it as an alleyway or a back entry. I've even heard it called a jigger in some parts of the country. And in this ginnel would be bins, dustbins, washing lines with washing on. So we encouraged people to, you know, to touch the wash, see if they could guess what kind of, you know, what article of clothing it was. It's particularly interesting with children. So we'd walk all the way through the alleyway, and then you would start to hear traffic sounds, and you would come to a pavement, and on the pavement there was one of the, you know, the sort of tents that they put up when they're doing work on the roads, one of those. Then we'd come to the tactile markings at the edge of the kerb, and they'd have to listen for traffic sounds. We actually had real cars on the road, not moving, just, you know, to show that there were, you know, that they could actually touch the cars if they wanted to. But they'd have to listen for the traffic sounds and listen for the gap in the traffic and say when it was safe to cross. So you'd cross the road, and then they would come to the front door of a house, and they would go into the house, and there would be a hallway with a table, a telephone on it, and a chair. As they walked along the hallway, there were living paintings on the wall that they could have a look at or touch. And then they would walk down the hallway into a lounge and kitchen. And in the lounge was everything you would expect there to be: furniture, coffee table, television, obviously not switched on because we couldn't have any light. Incidentally, all watches had to be covered, and they had to switch mobile phones off. So there was literally no light in the exhibition. And then there was everything in the kitchen. Obviously, the fridge didn't work because otherwise there would have been a light. There was a cooker, a sink, and they could investigate all the things. There'd be mugs and, you know, pots and pans. Excuse the dog snoring in the background again. And then they'd walk out of this kind of home area down another corridor into a bar. And in the bar, we'd have somebody working on the bar, but only with soft drinks. And they would have to go to the bar, get a drink, and then they would have to walk with their drink, carrying it themselves, to a table, find a place to sit. And then at that point, the guide would sit with them, and they could ask questions, that, you know, anything they wanted to know, anything, any questions they had about the exhibition or about visual impairment. I remember once I took round an actor. He was going to be playing a blind person, and he decided to go through the exhibition to get a real true experience as far as he could. But we took through packs of brownies. We took foreign students around who were on exchanges or who were studying at university, which was really interesting. And then they would go back out into another dimly lit room, so they could kind of acclimatise before they went into bright light. And then we had things for them to, they could try sim specs and things like that, and other people around for them to ask any more questions. And for me, that was fantastic. Now, I know it only portrays being totally blind. It doesn't obviously portray different varying degrees of sight loss, which have their own agendas and their own difficulties, but we did have the sim specs, which was, you know, something for them to try. Oh, Bonnie's really going for it, sorry. But yeah, that was really interesting, and I really wish, I don't think the exhibition is going now. I think they took it up to Scotland, but I think it was a really worthwhile thing to do, and I think it was very interesting to see different people, you know, the way they coped, the way their body language, even within the exhibition. I remember speaking to people, they said they felt the urge to lean forward all the time. If someone was talking to them, they felt the urge to lean across to hear what the person was saying. And it was interesting because the whole spatial awareness for some people completely went. And it was a very interesting experience. I loved working on that exhibition, and I thought it was very worthwhile. I'd be interested to know what other people think about that, really. But I do think that any effort made to experience any disability is worthwhile. But sometimes I think they could do more to experience it more fully. But I guess there are time constraints on people, and, you know, on how long they can spend doing something like that. So, yeah, so that's my little bit. I'd love to hear what other people think about this. So please respond, join in, and we'll see if we get some different opinions. I shall speak to you all soon. Again, apologies for the voice. Hope it hasn't been too awful to listen to. Thanks for listening if you've got this far, and I'll speak to you all again soon. Bye.